All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
You're getting the most out of being at a game with American Express. The card member entrance, the lounge, and now tip-off. That's the powerful backing of American Express. See how to elevate your live sports experience at americanexpress.com/withAmex. Eligible American Express card required. Benefits vary by card and by venue. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Allstate. Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Like, I have a debt to pay to them guys. We're going to win a Stanley Cup for them.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Hubie Doobie Doo podcast. Okay, man, I needed some good news in the fucking worst kind of way. It's been a rough 2-3 weeks. Everybody's leaving. Everything's falling apart. This. Everybody's fucking, we're like, blow this shit up. It's over. And then fucking Brad pulls off a fucking blockbuster. Brad has had a few blockbusters, has he not? I mean, the Dougie Hamilton trade.
Both Dougie Hamilton trades.
Yeah, the really? First one, the second one, this now. I mean, if you're looking at short term, Calgary fucking, Brad Treliving did very well. I mean, obviously there's question marks long term. We'll get into it, but give me your first reaction. I was playing hockey on the ice, and the rink rat, I wear a Flames jersey when I'm playing, so he knows I'm a Flames fan. So he came over. He's like, dude, you got to hear what's happening. Chucky's getting traded to fucking Florida. And he's like, it sounds like it's Huberto and someone else. And he's like, there's no way. There's no way they're getting Huberto. So he came back 10 minutes later when it was confirmed. Dude, I'm excited. Everybody's excited. Just when you're like, okay, our organization, our team, this is it. What other team are we going to cheer for now? Because this is the most depressing time since for fucking a long time. But there's been a lot of depressing times in Flames fans. But now the interest has been restored. I'm excited again for this season. I'm hopeful again for this season. We'll get into the breakdown of player for player and how they fit into the lineup and what we can expect next season. But first off, initial reaction.
Well, it's exactly that, right? It's like you're on the brink of death.
Yes.
And then you literally just like freaking stand up and slay the dragon. It was fucking crazy, dude. Like, it has been the most depressing 2 weeks I can remember as a fan, like ever. Like, same. Honestly, like,
I think so, because probably in the past when there's been times that have been that depressing, we were too young to be like, you give a shit, right? In my lifetime as a Flames fan, well, except for 04.
Like maybe the week after they lost the cup in 04. Like maybe then.
Yeah. And then the next season when fucking everything just fucking turned to shit. But still, this is so fresh. This is,
like it was just like, it's literally like Brad Tree Living freaking pulled the biggest rabbit out of the smallest hat. It was like, I'm having trouble putting into words, like, cause to trade Tkachuk too, right? Like that's why this was such a freaking gut punch. It was like, hey, you lose Gaudreau.
Yep.
And then the fan favorite savior is like, yeah, I'm peacing out too. To be able to turn this into a positive is like literally like freaking water into wine shit. It's just, it's amazing. It's unbelievable. Yeah, so I'm sitting there and because I think somebody tweeted out like Tkachuk to Florida. And then you're sitting there going like, oh, fuck. Okay, well, it must be like maybe they're doing Lundell and there's got to be some cap involved. So like, must be maybe somebody who's making a bit of money coming back the other way. And then you get like the Huberto, you're like, holy fuck. And then Weegar, and there's like, holy fuck. And a first?
Yeah.
What? Fuck it. I had to check like 10 times to
and
see.
And a blue chip.
Yeah.
And a blue chip.
And, yeah. And this prospect kid who sounds like he's pretty good. I had to check like at least 10 times to make sure this was like real. I was like, hey, is this a fake account? What the fuck? There's got to be more to this. It's like, hey, it's Tkachuk. And somebody like, what are we getting? What's the deal here? And like, you remember like the Hall Larson trade was like one for one. It's like, there's not more coming back. It's like, that's how I feel like Florida is probably feeling, right? I mean, listen, I think we'll get into it, but I think it's a better trade for the Panthers than some people might initially think just looking at what they gave up. But like,
well, they're being proactive, right? Because like, both these guys are on expiring contracts. And they just locked down a fucking beast entering his prime. And maybe they just realize, okay, what's it going to cost to reassign Huberto and Weegar? And I don't know. Yeah.
Well, yeah, they're right up against it to the cap. They were taking a move that's proactive down the line, like you said, getting a guy who's in his prime, cost controlled a little bit. Like they were going to have to pay Huberto or lose him. So I think it's a win-win for both teams, but dude, it's a like capital W-I-N for the Flames, who like I can't remember having such an emotional swing over the span of a week and a half.
No, exactly. Because when the rink rat first came, he first just said Tkachuk to Florida. That was it. And then I went out and he left. He's like, I'll let you know when I hear who it's for. I'm sitting there on the playing 3-on-3, so you only got like 2 minutes on the bench. Sitting there on the bench, I'm like, this is the worst day. This is the worst time of my life right now. Like every, fucking, it just sunk in. It's just like, it happened. Now Tkachuk's gone too. It's just that deepest. Because that was it. First thing you heard was Tkachuk to Florida. And you're like, fuck, we're done. This is over. And then he comes back. Dude, for Huberto, it's like, no, So revitalization. Mega, honest to God, mega kudos to Brad. Props to Brad. I mean, we've been fucking wanting to kill him. I have been, at least. I think you probably have too. Because you almost let this get to a point where it was dead. You almost let the fucking thing turn into a corpse.
This is a massive save of epic proportions.
It's this is literally the fucking team. It was drowning. And then they're lifeless. The team's lifeless in the pool, just floating lifeless. And then I guess it's Brad comes out, pulls the team out, pulls them to the side of the pool, starts fucking resuscitating. Right. And it's just like in the movies, it looks like the fucking, the person's dead. They're done. Right. And then the resuscitation's not working. It's not working. They pull off. And then they, you know, the person looks like, oh my God, this person's dead. All of a sudden they come
back. All of a sudden somebody shows up with some Hawaiian pizza and they come back to life. And it was the Hawaiian pizza that brought them back.
He must be on the vegan pizza, you know, like he must have switched something up, man. I'll get the vegan Hawaiian. Can I get that? What's the hat?
It's like the Beyond the fake meat or something.
Called? Can I get the Beyond Hawaiian, please?
The Beyond Ham.
Unbelievable. What is it? I'm just thinking of Chappelle's skit now. Beyond pussy.
That's not blood. That's beet juice.
Oh boy.
The thing is too, like, what was. It was weird because I was like, the initial reaction was like, holy shit. Like, I wanted to be excited, but like, there's this part of me that's like, okay, what's the catch in all this? Like, why can't I feel full excitement? Right. I like, that's what I was feeling anyways, because coming off of 2 weeks where we just got royally bent over, it was just kind of like, hey, this is too good to be true. What's the catch here? And I guess, I mean, the catch probably is the contract status of Huberto and Weegar, because that's the Weegar. Like, I mean, Huberto is a, like, the fact that they traded 100-point player is mind blowing. Cause like, right. That's all we've been talking about after we lost Gaudreau, is like, you can't replace a guy like that. Brad, replaced him.
We just straight up replaced Gaudreau,
which is crazy to think.
Like, Huberto is just as good as Gaudreau. Maybe he's better and he's big.
I mean, if you look at this trade, you replace Gaudreau with Huberto. I don't know if it's an upgrade, but it's definitely a wash, right?
Dude,
in terms of offensive ability.
Honestly, I think it's an upgrade.
On a Daryl Sutter team.
Yes, exactly.
It's probably an upgrade.
If you look at that shift where Connor McDavid scores, it's just like, yeah, Johnny is a fucking wizard offensively. And, you know, he's good. He's not shitty defensively. He's fucking tiny, right? Like, he can use his small stature to his advantage playing offense, but he can't use it to his advantage playing defense, right? Huberto, isn't he a beast of a two-way player as well?
Well, I don't know. If you look at some of his underlying numbers, his defensive metrics are pretty meh, but I mean, do you remember who our coach is?
Dude, I can't wait to see Huberto under Daryl.
Like, I mean,
how much better is the power play going to be? Weegar.
Yeah.
Is it Weegar or Weegar? You're saying Weegar.
I'm saying Weegar. Is that what I'm saying? I don't fucking know. That's what, like, I think the underrated thing in this is that we got Weegar. Like, I'm saying Weegar for now. It's probably like a Zadorov, Zadorov type thing.
Isn't he a top pairing guy?
Dude, he is absolutely our best defenseman now. And
holy fuck.
I think that's what just like, because, okay, you swap out Gaudreau for Huberto. Let's just say that's a wash. Let's say you're fine with that. Then essentially you're swapping out Tkachuk for Weegar. I mean, obviously you're taking Tkachuk over Weegar, but it upgrades the blue line to an insane degree.
And when you factor in two guys that wanted to leave, did not want to play here.
Exactly. Like, if you treat Matthew Tkachuk as a UFA, essentially next year, you pretty much just got a UFA for a UFA in the next year. You swapped out these guys. Like, this is a net win for the Flames, considering the circumstances and considering the absolute bullshit we've just had to put up with for the last 2 weeks. I mean, like, you look at Weegar and like, I've been saying this for years. They never really replaced Dougie Hamilton's puck moving ability when he left. I mean, Noah Hanifin does a pretty good job of it, but I mean, come on, Dougie's elite. Then they lost TJ Brody, which is like, hey, another puck mover gone. Then they lose Gio. It's like, hey, you don't really have any puck moving D-men other than Oliver Shillington, who was great last year. So, I honestly think, like, okay, in the height of my excitement, all I could think was like, under Daryl Sutter, Mackenzie Weegar is going to be a fucking Norris Trophy candidate. Like, this guy's good. So the fact they got both these guys and a pick, like, it was just
and a blue chip.
It was a freaking masterclass in how to manage your in how to use cap space. Because
is this
what I was wondering is like, hey, could the cap space right now is the Flames' best asset? Because before the trade happened, of course, I was going on a rant because Oliver Bjorkstrand got traded to Seattle yesterday for like nothing. And I mean, obviously, Max Pacioretty got traded for nothing. And I'm sitting there going like, hey, what the fuck is Brad doing? There's all these guys who are being dumped for nothing just because these teams don't have any cap space. When is he going to get in on it? Boy, did he get in on it.
Well, and here's the other thing, too, because we were giving him shit not having a backup plan, which he didn't for Johnny.
He didn't, but he freaking bucked up, dude.
But they did say, Elliot Howes was reporting that whatever happens, Calgary and Brad are not going to do anything knee-jerk. And, you know, you're sitting there as your fan, and you're like, this is fucking terrible because nothing's happening. We've done no additions. All we've done is lost our two best players.
Well,
and there's nothing. But then, like you said, he instead of a knee jerk fucking this, that, whatever, something is super calculated like this, where what a win coming back, at least for now. But again, I think this is full marks for Brad.
Well,
is this his best move as a GM?
Oh, without a doubt. Right. I mean,
does this restore your faith in him a bit? Where's your faith level now?
Oh, for sure, right? Because the faith
meter was at zero. Where is it now?
It's back to where it was probably heading into the offseason, where I was like super stoked for next year. Because essentially where you're at now is, I mean, I think you're on pretty equal footing in terms of the roster, because you just lost two superstar players, but you got a superstar back. And you got pretty close to a star defenseman back. So now that the roster is balanced out a bit, it's like, hey, yeah, I can be happy with this. But well, I think the thing with you're sitting there waiting for Brad to do something is that we've seen him kind of do that. But I think that's where the freaking like, hey, are you going to do anything dummy came from is like, we've seen him do that before, right? It's like the year they lost Gio. It's like, hey, he didn't do anything. What are you doing? It's like that year that, after 2018, 2019, they have the best season ever. And all offseason, we're waiting for a move, nothing, right? So we've seen that before. So I think that was percolating. It's like, here we fucking go again. No knee-jerk reactions means sign. And then combine that with all like, you're signing Kevin Rooney. You're signing all these guys you've never heard of.
Yep.
Here we go again. So that's where that frustration came from. But I mean, dude, this is Brad Treliving's best move as a Flames general manager because of the circumstances of where this fan base is at. Like, we needed a win so bad. It's not even funny.
I can't remember where you were saying it. It was either on the last podcast or on your Instagram stories where you're like, okay, Brad's just hit it. How many fucking, you know?
Yeah. He's grounded.
He's grounded out.
Yeah.
It's the bottom of the ninth. The bases are loaded. You're down by fucking three. He needs to hit a walk-off grand slam in order to fucking revitalize anything. Now, here's where I think he just did, but it went right over the fucking foul post, and the play is under review.
Yeah, correct.
Right? Because we'll see how this turns out. He could just be right back into the exact same situation by the end of next season. So we'll see what the future holds in terms of what's going to happen with these guys' contracts, both Weegar and Huberto. And if you do lose them for nothing, then essentially you just lost Johnny Gaudreau and Kachuk for nothing. Well, I guess you still got your first and a prospect. But if these two guys end up walking,
yeah,
it could be another massive failure. So
that's what was tempering my, because I was looking for like, hey, what is the catch in all this? What is temper? I was like, okay, both of them are UFAs. Like, my assumption, and again, you never know because it is Brad. We just got burned by Johnny Gaudreau after Brad was telling us if Craig Conroy comes on, done deal, right? It's done deal, walks.
Yep.
So my assumption is they have some kind of knowledge of Huberto's intentions and did their homework a little bit, and that must have confirmed something and indicating some intention on his camp's part to sign But like I said, all we heard for a year was how it was a done deal. Johnny was coming back and he walked. So this will come down to if one or both of them re-signs. I know everyone's like, oh, you could trade him at the deadline. Dude, like that's kind of like the same argument you could make about Johnny Gaudreau. It's like, here, first in the division, you're ripping it up. There's no way you're trading Johnny Gaudreau. I imagine with Huberto and Weegar, we're back in the division title conversation.
Absolutely.
They're not trading him at the deadline unless things go horribly awry. So you would think Brad gets, like, I'm hoping to hear very soon extensions. And I mean, the other thing on that too is like, hey, they're both almost 30. It's always going to be risky extending guys like that. But at this point, I don't care. Just like, you've got to extend them. So good analogy. It's, you know, it's like that freaking Grand Slam looks like it's heading out of here, but we have to wait to see.
The play is under review.
Exactly. We have to wait to see to judge this fully because
Yeah, basically the crowd has, it's like scoring the overtime goal.
Yeah.
And all the fucking players come on the ice, crowd's going nuts, and then the play is in a review, right? So
exactly. Because
we just went through the emotions of winning, and we know what it feels like. Because, but hold on, yeah, it could be coming back.
Because if they do both walk or whatever, you had a chance with Tkachuk to stockpile your future, right? Like, I think that's what most of us thought this trade was going to be. I was worried it was going to be very Dion Phaneuf trade-ish, where it's like, hey, we just get a bunch of shit back.
We get eight mediocre players back.
Yeah, in a hope to be good again next year. And then I think most people were hoping, and throw me in that camp, we were going to get a few stud building blocks for the future. It was really neither. It was like, legit players for next year. But if they both walk and you squandered a chance to solidify your future with young assets by trading one of the best 24-year-old players in the league, that's going to be fucking shitty.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, regardless, Tree Living just gave himself another opportunity, gave himself another shot.
Brad was just freaking like handcuffed.
Revitalized himself.
Yeah, he was handcuffed, bound in a straitjacket in a barrel rolling over Niagara Falls, and then he like pops up out of nowhere, escaped out of it. It's freaking incredible.
Dude, it's funny because, you know, you look at Kent Wilson, no, this is what you got to do. You look at pretty much everybody's like, no one saw this as a potential. No, we'll just get better.
Yeah. Right? That's like, what's crazy is like the options before us were try to make a half-ass, stay competitive next year trade that you probably won't win because you're trading the best player, or trade for futures and start a soft rebuild. Brad's like option C.
Yeah. You know what Brad just pulled? It's that scene in Happy Gilmore, right? It's the 18th hole. He's down by fucking whatever. And all these people are climbing on that lookout thing. It falls onto the green. And the chick goes, okay, Happy, just putt it around, two putt it. We'll take him to the next hole and beat him on the next hole. In extras, and he goes, I'll just beat him now. that's a Brad.
Play it as it lies.
I'll do the one putt. Yeah, exactly. Play it as it lies. I'm gonna one putt it fucking through the circus and bucket come out the other end. But you know, Johnny Gaudreau aside, if you're looking at the truck trade only, we just got better.
Yeah, if you can find a way now for Brad to like add somebody who, replaces kind of Tkachuk's two-way, because I mean I don't think Tkachuk's gonna be a 100-point player. I think probably gonna be disappointed if you're a Florida fan, and he's an incredible two-way player,
although he might be playing with Barkov.
Yeah, that's gonna be a crazy good line.
Actually, he will be playing with Barkov.
Yeah,
there's no way Tkachuk's not playing top line, right,
dude? How Sam Bennett, Matthew Tkachuk chilling on the beach with like freaking millions in their bank account, they're gonna love it.
Dude, the reuniting of those two, yeah, that's something special, man.
Florida's gonna be, yeah.
Yeah. Now I like Florida now. And
me too. And like honestly, Columbus. I'm kind of glad that both these guys went on teams who I don't really give a shit about, and I can kind of cheer for them a little bit. Like, that's the other thing where this is a huge win on Brad's part, is like
true.
The fact you traded a fan favorite. And like, not even just a fan favorite, like one of the most special guys to come through this organization in 20, 30 years. And the fan base is like overjoyed, stoked. Like, that's insane. That's a rare thing to trade. That'd be like trading Iggy and like getting a bunch of stuff in return and everybody's stoked. Not quite Iggy, but like if Iggy was like 24 and wanted to get the hell out of here. So that alone is a win. But it is kind of sweet that, like, yeah, Columbus and Florida, I can kind of cheer for those teams, two nondescript teams. It is kind of a bummer, though, like, given the kind of guy Tkachuk is, that he's, like, not in a high, high-profile market. Like, that's kind of a bummer. I think it would have been good for the league if he goes to somewhere like the Rangers or the Kings or something. Like, that would have been good for the league, but... Yeah. I mean, his tax-free dollars and chilling on the beach was probably worth it to him. Like,
well, yeah,
you could tell you can Johnny Gaudreau, not a savvy businessman. Matthew Tkachuk, savvy businessman.
And I guess we should even back this up further because we come on here and we're just talking about the trade, but we haven't discussed what preempted the trade, which is the news from Matthew Tkachuk that he's not re-signing long-term, because that was another blow we experienced last week, right?
Punch in the nutsack.
Yeah. When you're, I don't know, you already get fucking Rochambeau'd. You're on the ground because you're rolling. You're in the most pain you ever felt in your life. You feel like you're going to die because Johnny Gaudreau has left you. And then fucking Matthew Tkachuk fucking jumps on your head from the third fucking, third rope, whatever the fuck that's called. Just absolutely destroys you. And you're just sitting there dead. That's what you're sitting there dead, dead inside. But people were talking about this last night, comparing the two players, right? Where Johnny fucks you over unintentionally, but Matthew at least tells you straight up, I'm not signing long term. And Matthew gives you that ability to do what you just did, right? So it's a different situation. I get it. Because Brad let Johnny get that close to UFA, and you were saying, if anything, what you really take away here is you never let somebody get that close because you never know what will happen. Different situation with Chucky, but, you know, he's totally straight up honest. He wasn't like, I'm not sure or I don't want to talk about it or whatever. He just straight up said, I'm not signing long term, right? So he didn't lead Brad on, didn't leave him hanging, just straight up got in front of it. And look what Brad was able to do because of it.
Yeah, it sure helps. So, and the thing is, like, I think with Tkachuk, that was always probably going to be like, if you look at this now in historical context, this guy set himself up perfectly for his max earnings in the NHL. And to be, dude, like, have you ever seen has there ever been a sign-in trade in the NHL? I don't know if there has. Like, this is some NBA shit. So Tkachuk gets his massive qualifying offer, which we've been talking about forever, that puts him in a position where he gets to pretty much pick his destination and cash in on a career year. Like, it's just like, that's a pretty good piece of work by the Tkachuks, man.
Yeah, totally.
And I mean, I don't know. It's
like, where are you at with Matthew? Because people were fucking livid with Johnny. And I guess we haven't even talked about his letter too. We should do that at some point. I think letter.
Oh man, so much shit has happened. Holy cow. Well, see, the letter came out on the same day that it was announced Tkachuk would not be re-signing. So it was like that day fucking sucked. Right. Like I'm still recovering. Cause it's like, this is the last 12 hours have been 13 hours have been like, I've been a mopey mess for like a week. So I'm kind of finally feeling back to normal now. So it's weird. But I mean, those 24 hours were, you know, where you had just lost Gaudreau, the band-aids kind of gets ripped off. He gets that letter. Everybody's all freaking emotional. Then it comes out Matthew Tkachuk was not re-signing, has kind of given a list of teams he'll be open to signing long-term with. You're just like, fucking this, can you get any worse? And then you're just sitting there imagining, okay, what is this trade going to look like? It's going to be a freaking mess. It's going to be a nightmare. You're looking at the depth chart for next year. It's like, oh, our top lines, Coleman, Lindholm, and Mangiapane, if they sign him. It's just like so depressing. It's been a freaking whirlwind.
Well, you had something on your Instagram, and it was, what was it, like some roller coaster or some shit?
Yeah, that's what it's been like. It's literally been a roller coaster. And I mean,
one of those fucking absolutely death-defying fucking
one of those ones that are probably like illegal now. Like you used to go to Six Flags in like the mid 90s and it wasn't safe at all. And it's like
after
it's like
the 20th person fucking died off of it, now they're gonna shut it down for life. It ups and downs and all around and fucking like punches in the face, punches in the guts, and then all to be re-fucking revitalized at the end of it.
Well, and I still kind of feel like a very nervous and like insecure like girlfriend or something, hoping that her boyfriend doesn't like leave her like Huberto right now. Like that's how I'm feeling. I'm feeling like, please stay, like don't fuck us. Like I'm still nervous about that. So that emotion is still bubbling up right now too.
Yeah. So I heard, I don't know if you confirm this or not, but somebody was saying that Huberto waved. He had to waive his no trade or whatever to come to Calgary. So he was
partly
in control of his destination.
There's conflicting stuff because the first thing I saw was somebody put out a thing that they later deleted that said Huberto was, quote, blindsided by the trade. And that kind of freaked me out because I was
you could still be blindsided. Yeah. Then you end up waiving. You're like, okay, fine.
So Huberto did have an 18 no trade clause. 18. Oh my God.
18.
That's hard to say because you want to say 18. So he had a modified no trade clause that includes 8 teams that he could not be traded to. I still don't have confirmation on whether or not the Flames were on that. I don't know where you saw that. Did Frank tweet it or something?
No, I didn't see it. But when I got off the ice, there like I was chatting with the rink rat, and there was another Calgary Flames fan there. And he was saying that he said, "Yeah, he waved." So I'm not sure where he saw it or if it's accurate or not. But that's just what I heard.
If he waved, then it's a huge, 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 huge plus. But I can't seem to figure out. I don't think he did. So I think Brad's talking to Steinberg at noon, which is like right now. So I'm assuming we might find out then. But that's just my worry right now. Like, okay, you have to get this guy signed.
Yeah. He's got to work on extensions for both these fucking
players. He's got to do it before. Like, could you do it today, please? Like, it'd be nice if at the introductory press conference, they also announced re-signings, because that's the other thing too, is like, I was confident heading into this offseason that you were going to be able to sign Gaudreau and Tkachuk to long-term deals, regardless of the cap crunch this year, because the Flames have that's the other thing that's pretty masterful about this in terms of cap management, is that Huberto only makes $5.9 million this year, and Weegar's like under $4 million. So it's like a huge bargain, which works out well this year, because this year is the cap crunch year, right? This is the year that the Flames are kind of hamstrung. But Lucic is done after this year. Monahan's done. And next year, you're freaking laughing. Like, you have to factor in Lindholm's going to cash in soon, but that's still 2 years away. So this is like, we're just hopefully just as good, but it's less expensive. And theoretically, you could go out and add a guy, and now you can absolutely get Mangiapane done at the number he wants to get done. So just a really excellent freaking piece of, I know Chris Snow is heavily involved in like the contract stuff and the cap management. So dude, like that to me is the most impressive part in all of this. And what's fucking hilarious is even still Sean Monahan is the highest paid player.
Still. That's hilarious, man.
So like this is very well done. Lucic just, like I said, next year we have lots of money. So currently right now the Flames have a projected $9.3 million remaining in cap space. You still have to sign Shillington, still have to sign Mangiapane. So you could probably work out a trade or add maybe one more guy. So frick, dude, it's just, this is if they re-sign, this is an absolute slam dunk.
If they resign,
blow me away trade.
If they resign, the review is good. It's a fucking walk off grand slam.
Yeah.
Now, if you're Huberto, because we've been saying it, it sounds like based on Elliott's report that in the Johnny situation and the Matthew Tkachuk situation, part of them wanting to leave Calgary is playing closer to home and probably playing in the United States, right? COVID has played a massive factor in how these players start starting to make their decisions about where they want to live and play and spend majority of their careers. I'm curious, you know, Huberto's obviously Canadian. I'm not sure where he's from in Canada.
He's a Quebec guy, so I think that's where he spends all of his off season.
Okay. So, but regardless, playing in a Canadian market, I mean, this is, I don't know. You and I are different. We're on different sides of the spectrum. You said you'd be the Florida guy. Yep. I'd be the fucking, put me in the most hellish market. Put me in Philly. Like, I want that intensity personally. Maybe Huberto's.
Dude, I think Huberto's like that.
You think that probably. He's playing World Juniors in Canada. Like, yeah. He's grew up in that environment. You go to Florida. Dude, just like two seasons ago, just 30 fucking fans in the building. Remember those? Yeah. It was like, it was fucking laughable. It was a Florida game. When the Flames go, you watch the game, you're like, there's fucking 50 people in the crowd. What is going on?
Like, the lower bowl is just empty.
And sure, when the team gets good and they're playing the playoffs, the more people show up, but still, completely different environments, right? So we'll see what Huberto, you know, his experiences in Calgary. You know what it's gonna, you know what it's gonna be like. He's gonna be in a hot market where everybody recognizes him, and maybe he just has something switch and he's like, fuck it, this is where I want to be. That would be nice, because I don't want this fucking review coming back and it turns out it's coming back and then the next at bat it's a ground out, you lose the fucking World Series. So, but I'm just saying, maybe, because he is a Canadian and he's been playing in a fucking, probably the most boring market in Florida. Is Florida the most boring market? I mean, it's different that they've been competitive and been good, but I mean, how many years has he been there?
He was drafted the same year as Gaudreau. So as long as Johnny Gaudreau, 8 years, so 12, 10 years.
For 80% of his career, he's been playing in fucking front of 30 people.
Well, I can't confirm this. I saw it on a message board somewhere that said he spends some time in the offseason, like doing training in Calgary. I cannot confirm that though. So I mean, dude, like I can't speak for Jonathan Huberto, but it does seem like he seems like the kind of guy who would be stoked to be in a hockey mad market, doesn't it? Like,
I would think everybody would be, except for, I guess there are people who don't, but
me, yes. I'm with Chucky, dude. I'm like, yo, I'll take my tax-free 10 mil, and just like chill in Miami and be left alone. I mean, that sounds pretty sweet to me, but the one thing that is kind of weird now that it's happened and it's been, it's kind of like a breakup with somebody and then you with somebody who's way better for you. Not that I'm still not bummed to lose Gaudreau and Tkachuk, because I mean, I love those guys, but a new start does kind of feel nice, doesn't it? It feels like there's baggage that has been carried with the Gaudreau kind of core for years. And it's like, right, it's like whenever we lose, it's like these guys can't get it done, blah, blah, blah. It's just kind of like all that is gone. There's none of that with this current team anymore. Like, Gio's gone, Brody's gone, Johnny's gone, Tkachuk's gone. It's like, this is a totally different thing. And I a change is always weird, but this could be good, where it's like, hey, there's no more baggage from those years anymore. There's no more playoff failures. There's no more disappearing in the playoff act shit, right? It's just like, this is a totally new dynamic. This is a totally new group. This is a totally fresh start. Combine that with Daryl Bond on the bench, and it kind of feels like, it kind of almost feels relieving. I feel like I'm relieved almost, which seems weird, right? It's like, I feel like I've wanted Gaudreau and Tkachuk to succeed for so long, and they just their group hasn't really been able to do it. It's like, we can kind of just mentally move on from that stage, which kind of feels relieving. It sounds fucking weird, but I think it's true.
Yeah. There's no past expectations lingering over you, right? going into a new season. We're just like, okay, well, I mean, You know, we did see it a bit. Johnny's limited with how much he can do in the playoffs due to his size. And we've always gone to bat for him and said, no, no, he's capable. Just fucking, if he needs people around him, you know, to support. I think we saw exactly that. I think we saw exactly what Johnny can do in the playoffs. He can be a game breaker, but he's not necessarily going to put a stamp on every, he can't dominate a series, right?
Yeah, it's not like McDavid where, nobody's like McDavid, but even like Cale Makar, like MacKinnon versus us that year, where it's like, hey, one guy won the series for them.
Yeah, if five straight games, right? Whereas Johnny, he can, even look at the Dallas series, right? Like Mangiapane won us one game, and Chucky and Johnny won us game seven. The rest of the games were just, you know, team wins, right? And I guess that's all I'm kind of saying is that I, to some extent, I agree with the whole size argument. I really do. Even though Johnny finds a way because he's a fucking wizard, but it gets that much more difficult come playoff time. This Huberto exchange replacement, I think is going to be very interesting to watch because from a skill perspective, they're pretty close. I mean, obviously they have a different skill set, but point production, what they can do offensively, they're pretty similar.
Yeah,
but Huberto has the size, right? I mean, he's not an easy guy to stop, and he's a better skater than Chucky, right? It's not like
oh, yeah.
Chucky, I mean, it's easier to stop Chucky because he's probably going to fall down.
Or try to go between his goddamn legs.
So, I don't know. Like, it's going to be, you know what's nice? It's going to be fascinating to watch.
Yeah.
It's not going to, I'm not dreading the season anymore.
Exactly.
I'm looking forward to seeing how this is going to unfold. I have a lot of optimism because, like you said, you just lost Johnny and Chucky, and you replace them with Huberto and Uyghur under Daryl. Daryl can work with this. This team should compete. I would expect them to make the playoffs again. As long as, here's the thing though, like as long as mentally, and this is why I thank God we have Daryl, because you got to think that Tkachuk deciding not to sign long-term was a domino from Gaudreau leaving.
If Francis wrote an article today that said, no, that wasn't a factor at all, but come on. It was a factor.
If Johnny resigns, Chucky probably resigns. That would be my guess, unless there's something totally different going on, right? But where was everybody else at? Where's Lindholm been?
Yeah.
Where is he at mentally when Johnny's gone, now Chucky's gone? Lindholm's probably like, holy fuck. Where could I maybe go next? Because so obviously this is a big resurgence mentally for everybody on the team, bringing in two fucking top echelon guys. So I think that helps. I think it helps. You got Daryl there. That might be my only concern, because if either Uyghur or Huberto or both aren't totally bought in to committing to Calgary, you know, they're in a contract year, so they're probably going to put their best foot forward. But you would like to see the cohesiveness of everybody getting on the same page and wanting to win together.
Well, yeah, probably another reason why it's so important to get them signed.
Yeah,
because you dropped the puck on opening night with he's still unsigned. I think everybody is in that state where it's like, hey, we're uncertain.
Exactly.
We just saw what happened with Johnny. He just pulled the same thing. So I think it's essential to get him signed ASAP.
So because of that, I'm going to go ahead and say Brad doesn't resign. Get him resigned for the season. Because you think you're right, dude. It's probably too good to be true. It's still Brad Treliving we're talking about. But we'll
I will be really curious to see what he says today. But like, I'm just like, it's kind of like fighting a war where it's like, hey, I get a day of mental relief.
Yeah.
It's just like, hey, just for today, I know I have the re-signing to worry about later, but like today I'm just like glad I don't have to wake up and be like, fuck, I hate the Flames. Why do they suck as an organization? So I'm going to take this as a little win for 10 minutes and then we'll see what happens.
So have you looked at the cap situation?
Yeah. So
where are we at? Do we have room to add more right now?
So currently the Flames have a projected $9.3 million in cap space as per cap friendly. Like I said, it's pretty crazy to be able to replace what Gaudreau brought to the team with a guy who not only makes less than what Gaudreau was making previously, but about like half. His current cap hit is $5.9 million, Jonathan Huberdeau. So that's a huge win. Mackenzie Weegar makes $3.3 million, I believe. $3.25. So he's like our fifth highest paid defenseman, which I think he's our best. I think he's our top pairing guy now. So the Flames do get some cap savings out of all this, which is crazy. So right now, $9.3 million in projected cap space. They still have to sign Andrew Mangiapane, who is going to arbitration. They still have to sign Oliver Shillington, who's going to arbitration. So that'll eat up at least probably more than half that. I'm assuming Andrew Mangiapane's agent has kind of been doing some media rounds during all this, saying that, yeah, he's totally willing and wanting to re-sign long-term. I would be blown away if they didn't sign Mangiapane long-term. I'm thinking somewhere in the $5 to $6 million AAV. So that eats up about half. Shillington, I'm not sure. I don't think he's getting anything super long-term or super expensive. So I think you still do have some room to tinker and add some guys. I don't think you're probably adding Nazem Kadri for $8 million, but I'm sure you could find somebody else to add. Because, yeah, I think
what if you could dump Lucic?
If you can dump Lucic, then huge game changer. Then you can add a big boy.
Why? Could you imagine if at the end of this, let's say you extend. This would be the greatest resurgence of all time. You extend Huberto and Weegar, then you drop Lucic and you bring in a Kadri.
Dude, if Brad Tree Living pulls that shit off,
you will literally suck his dick.
Well, no, but.
Metaphorically, you're doing it.
Everybody, there's enough people already doing that, so I can refrain from that. But I'll pat them on the back as they do it. That's for sure.
You give his balls a duck at least.
Yeah, right? That's right. That would be huge because I still think you would like to replace. Again, I think people are undervaluing what Kachuk brings. They're not undervaluing it, but to like just kind of like, oh yeah, we're fine now. It's like you're still lost. A guy who's an elite two-way player. He's not probably a 100-point guy without Johnny Gaudreau, but you still would like to replace some of that, what he does for you up front and in the D zone. So if you could find a guy who just got, like, and I think Mangiapane's expanded role will help bridge that gap. But if you can find another guy who can solidify the top six, I don't know about Kadri at his price point that he probably wants, but like, hey, if you're going for it, go for it.
What if, I mean, if you get Kadri to sign a one-year deal.
He's
holding out for a massive contract, probably.
Yeah, probably holding out for Colorado to maybe try to make room for him, too.
But if no one else can come to the plate and do that, I guess why would he sign a one-year? And Kadri would probably do it somewhere else. But anyways, the point is, you still have a bit of potential. Like, why would you hang on to Lucic for another season?
Yeah, and we've heard some rumblings that they've found maybe somewhere to get rid of him. Like, do it. Let's do it, dude. Let's freaking go for it, man.
Yeah. If Brad actually did that, you know what that'd be? That would be okay. The video review was inconclusive. You gotta repitch it. And then you fucking hit it another home run.
And then you just nail it again.
Eh? Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I think the Flames might I think they will probably still add another guy that, like, I don't know who. Like maybe even just like an older guy like Paul Stastny would be a nice little fit, right? Like, I think the Flames still probably want to solidify the center ice position because, like, who knows what Monahan's status is? Frick, dude, I don't know what Monahan's status is.
Yeah, let's talk about the centers because Huberto obviously is now your 1C.
No, he's a LW, right?
Oh, he's a winger. I thought he was a centerman. Okay,
no, if he's a centerman, dude, I'd literally suck Brad's dick.
I don't know why I thought he was center. I thought, did he used to play with Barkov?
He played with Barkov, yeah.
I thought they ran Barkov and then Huberto 1 and 2. No, I guess not.
Yeah, Barkov with Hubie.
Guess I don't watch enough.
Dude, like, honestly, games. Like, I only – Huberto is a guy I only know based off of, like, reputation. I can't say I've ever watched – the amount of Florida Panthers games I've watched is probably one or two ever.
You see him in the highlights. You see him in the highlights. Dude, that announcer, the Hubie Doobie Doo.
Like, my only knowledge of Huberto this year is, like, I was making a case that Gaudreau was way better than him, and that's the only – in the Hart Trophy voting, that's the only knowledge I have of Huberto. So
we're gonna have to, everybody, do your part. We got to get on. What's his name? Sing.
Yeah, Harner Ryan.
Harner Ryan. We want a Hubie
Doobie Doo. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, baby. We got that. Has to live on. That's one of the greatest fucking goal calls, right? Okay. All right. So then let's look at Lyons. So if he's left wing, then obviously your top line is going to be Lindholm, Huberto, and Mangiapane. Is that what people are saying?
I think so. I like.
We'll see what Daryl's fucking. Daryl's
honestly, yeah. Figure it out. If I'm looking at like based on fit right now, I think we saw last year that Toffoli, because we saw the Toffoli Gaudreau connection a couple times, and it was kind of like tantalizing. If it's me right now, and you're not adding anybody else to your roster, I would put Toffoli with those two guys and see what happens.
Yeah.
That seems like a much more natural fit.
Because then you could keep Backlund, Coleman, Mangiapane, which had a good line, right?
Yeah. And then you're slotting. I think it's slotting Toffoli properly, too, because that mismatch with Toffoli with, like, whoever he was playing with never seemed to really work for him.
Yeah, he was kind of like the odd man out because he couldn't break up the top line.
Yeah. So, depending on what you do with old Sean Monahan, I guess right now you slot him in at 3C. With Dubé and
that's one thing I'm looking forward to is watching Sean Monahan play hockey.
Yeah, Dubé and so I still think you want to make another addition to your forward group for sure to solidify it.
Even another 3C.
Yeah, like you throw Paul Stastny in there.
Yeah,
I'd be happy with that. He's older, but you could probably get him on a 1-year deal for relatively cheap. He's still a really smart hockey player with some offensive upside. So.
Pacioretty would have been good, too.
Pacioretty would have been really nice. It would be nice if they could get a centerman, though, right? That would be nice. A centerman like
3C.
Like, okay, let's just, for fun's sake, let's say you sign Kadri. Let's just say, if you're rolling Lindholm, Huberto, and Toffoli, top line, or Mangiapane, and then your second line is Kadri, Mangiapane, Coleman, and your third line is like Backlund, Dubé, whoever. Now you're rolling. Because still, even to this day, that has been the freaking like hole in the Flames' armor is that center ice slotting. It's never since Monahan fell off the face of the earth. It's never been, and they had to move Lindholm there.
Dude, even when he wasn't,
He was good, it was still like fuck. We need a because like for years they did the. What was it? Monahan 1, Backlund 2, Jankowski 3. Like, ugh. And then they move Lindholm. It's always been like the hole in their armor, right? It's always been a freaking like,
Because Monahan's always been like a borderline. He should be a 2C when he was good.
When he was good, yeah.
And Backlund's like on a good team, he's a fucking wonderful 3C, right? So you've always been a bit of an issue if you could slot those guys.
Yeah. So if you could get a centerman, I don't, obviously Kadri's not the point guy he put up this year, but he's still a great two-way player. If you can get a centerman who could bridge that gap, it doesn't have to be a 1C, but if you can get a guy who's a legit 2C, then I think you're rolling pretty good.
So how is Weir defensively?
He's, well, based on his underlying numbers, dude is a horse. Dude is a freaking horse.
Oh, I'm excited, dude. So,
I keep forgetting. That's what keeps putting this over the top for me, right? Is like, okay, I'm like, fuck, Huberto's good. But then I keep remembering we got Uyghur now.
Fuck yeah, dude. So, I'm curious. Let's say you sign these guys long term and you make another slight addition. Do you have an answer for McDavid now?
Well, time
will tell, but we saw that the top line got absolutely destroyed. Yeah,
they got wrecked.
And this is the best line in hockey last season, regular season. Great in both ends of the ice, got absolutely destroyed. by McDavid.
I think adding Uyghur helps because I know Darryl is still like a big matching D against forward lines as opposed to lines against lines. So I think Uyghur fills something they've been right. Cause you lost Brody, you lost Hamilton. You lost three elite defensemen in the last 3 years. And yeah, you got things back for like Hamilton, but they never have addressed the dwindling blue line until they got Uyghur. So I think that's huge in terms of the McDavid shutdown factor. I don't know who he's going to play with, but like the dude is an elite. He's an elite skating defenseman who's great in his own zone. So I think that's a huge, huge addition. Obviously, I don't think it's enough to deal with what McDavid did to you in the playoffs, right?
Now, if you're Brad, would you rather tinker and work on the mid six, or would you rather tinker and bring in? How much does Jacob Slavin make?
A lot, I think. A lot.
Could you bring in another guy that's can play shutdown minutes? Who'd you rather have? Another guy to buttress the D and make your D just like, holy fuck, that's seriously good defensive corpse? Or would you rather bring in a guy that can play, you know, two-way hockey?
I think you'd probably still rather bring in a forward.
I think so too, yeah.
It might depend on how healthy Tanev is. Because again, it's kind of like,
okay, well, you're missing Tanev for the first quarter of the season.
If Tanev's out, then it's still a little chintzy. Cause then what do you go? You go Hanifin, Anderson, Shillington, Uyghur, Zadorov, X. So that's where it gets like, okay, that X was, that's where it's like, I don't know. So, I mean, if you could solidify the D a little bit more, you probably wouldn't mind doing that. In its full form though, with Tanev healthy, that's a great defensive group of six, though. If Rasmus Anderson can continue to not be terrible, because like you forget how freaking terrible he was the year before this year.
Well, you got to think he's going to have a similar season.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine. Like it's just the Oilers thing is so weird, right? It's like because it was weird how they beat us. It was weird that they just like the Flames. It was just weird. It's like, I can't put my finger on like, okay, well, what could they have done better against McDavid? You know, like, what do you do against that guy? Like, who would you bring in ideally up front or on the blue line to deal with Connor McDavid this upcoming year? If you have to play him in the playoffs? I don't know. I don't know if there's an answer to that.
Well, Makar and fucking Taze was a pretty
good answer. Yeah, that's good. Well, yeah, I think there is a lot of similarities between Uyghur and Taves. I think Taves, obviously younger, on a way better deal. Is he younger? He might be similar age. But I think Uyghur is a good comparable to Taves. It's like, that's a guy who's massively underrated because he doesn't put up huge counting stats, but is a really, really solid defenseman. So I think that's a huge get for the Flames in terms of what Darryl wants his team to do. Cause like, he's a fantastic transition guy. Just looking at some of his numbers, like, and to put him into a Darryl Sutter team is just like, I think, a fucking masterstroke.
Sweet. Yeah, I'm excited. I honestly never watched the guy.
Dude, yeah, no, I'm so glad to be talking about like, yes, here's what we can do next year, as opposed to like, fuck, do we have to rebuild?
Yeah. If we do, just pull the bandaid off. Let's get over with. Who's going to be? They're probably going to keep Brass on the PPA. Is Uyghur a PP guy?
I'd put Uyghur there. I'd put him there.
I'm curious to see what kind of impact Huberto has on the power play, because he is
he's got a heavier shot than Johnny.
Well, and his passing game is probably one of the biggest strengths to what he brings, right?
I think him and Gaudreau, if you exclude McDavid, he and Gaudreau are the two best playmakers in the league.
Wow.
I think.
Dude, I can't wait to get we got jerseys gifted to us.
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah. Thanks.
And waiting. Josh. Thanks, Josh.
Well, dude, I was thinking about this the other night. I was like, fuck, is this depressing? Because I have a couple blank jerseys. And I'm like, what am I gonna get now? I guess I could get poor Lindholm, but like, this is sad.
Dude, I was just gonna leave it blank. Now I'm getting a Hubie on there like instantly.
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 I'm just going to look up who had the most primary assists. I'm pretty sure Huberto led the league in total assists last year. He had like 80. It's freaking crazy. I just want to see how many. He had 85 assists last year. I do think a lot of them were
BP
secondaries, but I'm just going to take a quick look.
You got to think that he helps the power play out. And then let's say you have to fully on PP1. Because that's the other thing, too, is like Matthew Tkachuk wasn't really that great of a power play guy. Either was Johnny.
Well, it's just the thing with Johnny is like he can't really do much other than like, right? With his skill set, it's just when the way the Flames are running it was just way too one-dimensional. It's like, hey, Gaudreau, it seemed to me, Johnny, get out there and like make a seam pass. And then,
well, yeah, because the thing is like you're playing stationary hockey, right? You're setting up. That's not Johnny's forte.
Exactly.
He needs to be coming down the ice and, you know, doing delays and shit. Okay, well, I just fucking hope the power play is better.
Primary assist leaders last year, Jonathan Huberto, number one with 53. Johnny Gaudreau, number two with 52.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And, I mean, if you look over the last 5 years, I know that's kind of being a bit cherry picky because Johnny had probably his two roughest years in the COVID. Under Jeff Ward there. I like it. It was fucking hilarious because Johnny goes on Tim and friends or whatever the other day. And his quote that kind of like pulled at everybody's heartstrings was, I don't have any bad memories in Calgary because there were none. And everyone's like, boy, that dude freaking is just totally forgetting the Jeff Ward years. He's just shoved that so far down.
That was fucking terrible, dude.
Okay, so yeah, primary assist leaders over the past 5 years. Jonathan Huberto is seventh. Johnny Gaudreau is eighth. So
we're getting Johnny.
Nice work, Brad.
Bigger version of Johnny.
It's like unbelievable, dude. Somebody said Daryl is gonna just say when Huberto shows up for camp, it's like, oh, Johnny, you grew a bit, eh?
Nice. That's great. Love it. Okay, we gotta know what number he's gonna wear.
So yeah, what's your guess? I feel like he might. I don't know if he'd take 13.
Dude, he should.
He should take just, I feel like he
just
should take
a troll, 19. Man. Just a troll.
I feel like he should take 19. I kind of hope he wears like a weird like it's 70s weird. Or 90s number. I like those weird numbers. Like
because he was wearing 11 before, it probably was 71, dude.
Yeah, go 71 would be a sweet. Put
71 would be good.
See, 91 would be sweet, but like Yarncroc just wore it, so it's not as cool as I would hope. No. Or he should go 98 just to fuck with Connor. We have to fit in a word from our sponsor, DraftKings Sportsbook. There's lots of good stuff going on this summer. There's UFC 276 this upcoming weekend. Whether you're a Blue Jays fan, MMA, golf, everything, you can use DraftKings same game parlays, spreads, money lines, over-unders, and props. Your betting options are endless. At this rate, you might even be able to bet if Connor McDavid and his girlfriend are break up. I'm pretty sure that's not available yet, but maybe in the future one day. We can only hope. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code THPN, make your first deposit, and get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. Promo code is THPN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See the show notes for details.
That'd be kind of hilarious.
Fucking funny. I think 71 would be sweet.
71 would be amazing.
All right, well, let's close a chapter on Johnny, right? You just mentioned the letter. The other probably most notable thing that he said was he was ready to sign long-term the year prior. Him and his wife are shopping for houses. So Brad had the opportunity to do it, didn't. I know you were reaming him out for that because it looked like fucking we were just watching the slow death of this thing. But anything else from Johnny's letter? Like I read that thing, I'm like, yeah, fully forgiven. I can't stay mad at this guy. Dude.
Well, given my like love for the guy anyways, I was kind of feeling that stuff already more so than anybody just because I have such a soft spot for the little MF. So I was kind of feeling that already. I honestly got a little choked up reading it. It was kind of like, you know,
yeah.
8 years of just watching this guy play. That's how kind of how I felt all the time. But like, you know, you read it, you factor into the fact that, you know, his dad
had that health scare a few years ago. Like, that changes shit for you. And the other thing is too, is like reading it is like, you can tell this guy couldn't make up his mind, right? Yeah. Like yeah. If he was married to somebody else, he would have come back here, was kind of my takeaway. Like, he legitimately couldn't make up his mind, for better and for worse. Like, the dude couldn't figure it out. And to me, between him and Tkachuk, I was always thinking, yeah, Johnny will come back over Tkachuk, because you know Tkachuk, like, dude is hockey royalty. Dude is like too big time for us, essentially, is kind of how I felt. Like, Johnny's different. Johnny's just like from a working class family, just like, yeah, I'll do whatever. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm glad he wrote the letter. I think it really
well, it gives you closure because you had none.
Because that was the problem, I think, for most people. No closure, no way to emotionally close that chapter. It just felt like the rug got pulled out from under you. So I think Johnny's gonna be happy, and I'm happy for the little MF, but I'm even more happy now that Huberto's here, dude.
Well, whenever we start talking about all this shit again, it's like, fucking Huberto.
That's what makes able to move on.
Because if this was the slow death of this current fucking phase of Calgary Flames success, and, you know, because a lot of people were like, I'm booing Johnny, that motherfucker. But since the letter, since Tkachuk decides now you can replace, you have replacements, because it's going to be as fun as it was watching Johnny, it's going to be fun watching Johnny then.
New Johnny Hockey.
The new Johnny 2.0. Jonathan, right? He's going to be a pleasure to watch. I know it.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah. He's going to be like, okay, again, being a guy who loves Johnny Gaudreau, I think Huberto is going to be a guy who a lot more Flames fans who kind of like aren't like me, a lot more Albertans and people who watch the Flames will like, okay, that's a Calgary Flames guy, right? Like, that's a guy who, and again, who, if he signs, yes, I'll say all this, but he just seems to have the temperament and be the kind of like guy who I think a lot more Flames fans who maybe didn't like Gaudreau as much as we did will gravitate to. Like, if he signs, he's going to be a freaking legend in this city. So I think that's what makes this pretty fucking cool. But I don't know. The letter was great from Johnny. Like, I honestly kind of felt bad for him because of all the shit he was getting. So I'm glad to see people read the letter and kind of saw where he was coming from. And I know it still pisses a lot of people off that he didn't know what he wanted to do, but I mean, that's just kind of Johnny Gaudreau to me. It's like, he had no idea what he wanted to do, and he really did struggle with that decision.
Yeah.
Like, he liked it in Calgary. Like, he would have stayed here.
At the end of the
sensibly different.
At the end of the day, he deserves a standing ovation when he comes back.
Exactly.
And like that, now, after the letter, and now Flames fans have someone else to replace what he left. I think he'll probably get it now.
Like, I think, yeah.
Because before those two things, the letter and now this trade, I'm not sure if he was going to be that welcome back, but he deserves one, and I think he'll probably get one.
Yeah, he deserves one, and I know everybody thinks, like, oh, Murray Edwards is kind of pissed at him and shit, but it's like, if you look at it over the past 8 years, the Flames, you forget how bad that, like, kind of, like, tail end of the Eginla era was, right, where it's like, they should have traded him, and they didn't, and they just fucking sucked. And then they traded him, and then they still sucked. It was like, it was kind of like similar to what we just saw when we lost Johnny and Tkachuk. It was just kind of like, oh man, this is just going to suck. And then this little tiny MF comes out of nowhere and like freaking takes the city by storm. Like, I don't think it's an understatement to say he didn't save the franchise, but he kind of did.
He revitalized it.
He totally revitalized an entire new generation of fans. So,
well, and we're still, the revitalization continues on now, right? It was almost like
it felt like that was it. Yeah.
Yeah. But now
it was going back to Young Guns era is what it felt.
The baton has been passed to Jonathan 2.0.
Yeah.
Johnny 2.0.
And dude, it's kind of cool to have the Flames have never really had like a French Canadian star, right? Like maybe Guy Chouinard back in the day, but
Alex Tanguay.
Yeah. Tangs. But like, I'm pretty stoked.
Now you compare that to Chucky. I wasn't seeing any Chucky hate going around. I think everybody's just too fucking depressed to be angry.
Well, it was kind of like the Gaudreau one was the emotional one, because it was the first. It's like that first punch in the face is like the worst one, and you just keep taking them, and you're like, whatever, just beat the shit out of me.
I don't feel anything anymore.
Yeah, it's like whatever.
Do what you want with me.
Yeah.
But it's a fair question. How will fans respond when Chucky comes back? I honestly have no problem with it anymore. I don't know. Weirdly enough, I mean, hey, he was my favorite player since Iggy. Do you know what I mean? But I kind of get all the circumstances. I don't blame him for not wanting to sign. I do wish him success. I'll be keeping tabs on him and Benny now. But sucks to see him go. But I think I'm weirdly okay with it.
It is weird because it mega sucks, because guys like that are like so one in a million. Well, regardless of what you think of his like on ice skill set, like he's just such a freaking character. Like you don't get guys like that, you know? Like how many of Johnny Gaudreau revitalized the organization? How many like moments, hockey, NHL wide moments, has Matthew Tkachuk been responsible for the past 5 years? Like exactly. You can think of like five immediately, like the between the legs overtime winner, the whole stay off the tracks thing, the shit where he fought Blake Wheeler. Like you just so many, like to lose a guy who's like such a marketable star does suck. I think he'll get a nice little tribute video and a response video. I think at the end of the day, Tkachuk will probably kind of be like, I don't want to say Brett Hull, because that's maybe a little much, but it's like in 10 years from now, 15 years from now, you'll be looking at his hockey DB and being like, holy shit. Yeah. Calgary drafted him. Oh yeah. I remember he played there for like 5 years, and it'll kind of be like a distant, but very fond memory.
Although the memories that he did make that you're rattling off, people are never going to forget that, dude.
You're never going to forget. Like, even it's kind of sucks because you wish he had like more playoff moments, right? More like big stage moments. But dude, you're never going to forget where you were when he fucking creamed Zach Hatt. Like that's legendary. The guy single-handedly restored the Battle of Alberta.
Yes. 100%. Johnny restored the franchise. Chucky restored the Battle of Alberta. You're welcome, Edmonton.
Like, do you remember those two?
It wasn't McDavid.
Yeah, it wasn't McDavid at all. It was Tkachuk. And it's going to suffer now that he's gone for sure.
Yeah, but it was kind of already.
It was getting out of hand already. And it was dying down. But, I mean, those 2 weeks before this was before COVID. But, like, remember those 2 or 3 weeks? So the goalie fight game happens. Or no, the stay off the track stuff happens. And this was like all in a 3 week period in February or January. I can't remember. But Chucky does the thing with Cassian on Hockey Night in Canada. I remember being there.
How about you didn't even throw any of the Doughty shit.
Oh, exactly. The Drew Doughty shit. Like, come on. This kid is just a stud. But like, do you remember how insane those 3 weeks were against the Oilers? You have stay off the tracks. Then you have the rematch. So Cassian gets suspended for like a game. And then he's back for the rematch. The build-up to that game where him and Tkachuk fight, and Chucky's going like, the more people told me I shouldn't fight him, the more I wanted to fight him. He fights him. It's like freaking fight night. Like the anticipation for those three games, and the goalie fight game was the next game, was like unbelievable. It was just crazy, man.
Yeah, it was.
That's got to be the most memorable like 3 weeks of a regular season I can remember.
We might have to do a top. You know what? We're going to have
to probably
top 10 Johnny moments and Chucky moments. We'll have to do. Holy fuck. Okay. Last question for you. With Johnny already gone, we're just saying we got to fucking take it for what it is. We lost him at free agency. And the only positive thing out of that is the cap space. That's it. You would have much rather had the assets come back in return. But so that's still a big loss and a big L in Brad Treliving's fucking
The fact he didn't sign him last offseason, like, because what if you could have traded Kachuk for Huberto and had Huberto and Gaudreau on your team this year?
Exactly. But with Johnny off the table, if you're just looking at Huberto and Kachuk, would you rather – you got to take the age into consideration.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Chucky locked up long-term or have Huberto locked up? Because what's he going to be locked up for, 5-6, or is he going to want fucking max?
He's probably going to want max given his age. Like, this is his last chance to cash in.
So between the two players, if you
had to choose... man, fuck right off. Given the age, I still, if I over the next 8 years, and I get he's got skatey issues, but like given that he's only 24, I would probably still take Kachuk at his number, like right now.
Yep.
But that's totally in a vacuum. That's not in the context of what's actually going on. Player for player, and that's why Florida made this trade, right? That's why.
How about this? Yeah, exactly. How about this? If you could sign either player to a 3-year contract right now for the exact same dollar amount, who you picking?
Oh, dude, that's tough. I think still I'm going Kachuk because he's just right in his prime right now. But I could be swayed either way. And that's just the fact that I know Kachuk and I've watched him play for 5-6 years, and I know what he can do. I'm not totally in the know of like Huberto's skill set all around, so maybe I'm off. But like,
and how happy are you that we can actually look forward to watching this team?
Yeah, it's fine. It's like, what a relief, dude.
Oh fuck,
what a relief. I like how Brad always waits to do his business. Like, it's like I've been waiting to rip him, and it's like, he's doing nothing. I'm like, fuck, I got to rip this guy. Rip him. It's like 2 minutes later, he makes a huge trade.
Blockbuster.
Just when I think couldn't be any dumber.
You go and do something like this. And totally redeem yourself.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.